I want to begin with the clarification from last week. We said that there are two different types of angels. There's the Srafim and the Ofanim that are seen by Yeshaya and Yechezkel respectively in their visions of the Merkava. And we said that Yeshaya's Srafim are not as high a level as Yechezkel's Ofanim. We will talk about this in greater detail when we get to the statement Baruch Kavod Hashem Im Kamo, which will come later, which Yechezkel sees his Ofanim say, and Yeshaya sees the Srafim say Kadosh 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 Hashem Tzvakos. So I mentioned last week that we have this in davening. I just want to read to you the statement in davening, which we're all familiar with, but just to tell you how it translates, to show you how it fits in. I didn't have it at my tongue last week, but when we daven in the morning and we mimic the angels, we talk about how the angels all together praise Hashem. So before we say Kadosh, 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 we don't mention what types of angels we're talking about. We just say Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos, Moloch Ol Ha'aretz Kevodo. We don't say what angels we mean. Then, the next statement is the telling statement, V'ha'ofanim v'chayot ha'kodesh, the ofanim and the chayot ha'kodesh. Yechezkel sees Ofanim and Chayos. I made a mistake in my introduction just now. He sees both things. He sees Ofanim. We haven't even gotten to the Ofanim yet. We've talked about the Chayos. So the Ofanim and the Chayos HaKodesh, which are the ones Yechezkel sees, Berash Godol with great noise, Misnasim Vimumas Serafim, they lift up, or they are uplifted, facing the Serafim. Li'umasam, opposite them, Mishabchim V'omrim, they praise and they say Baruch Kavod Hashem Im Kamo. So the Ofanim and the Chayos HaKodesh, they facing the Srafim, they are responding to what the Srafim had said. The Srafim had said Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Now the Ofanim and the Chayos HaKodesh are saying Baruch Kavod Hashem Im Kamo. And as I said, Yeshaya sees the Srafim saying Kadosh, 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 and Yechezkel sees the Ofanim and the Chayos HaKodesh saying Baruch Kavod Hashem. So we'll get into this in more detail, what each of these statements are, Kadosh, 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 and Baruch Kavod Hashem, what the import is of these two statements. Obviously, we say them every morning, they're important, they're in bold print in the article of Siddur, they must be important. So we're going to talk about them when we get to the statement of Baruch Kavod Hashem in Yechezkel. But I just wanted to bring out that we mentioned the Ofanim and the Chayos HaKodesh and the Srafim and Davening every day in this context. Now we were up to Pasuk Zion. We had mentioned all the faces that the Chayos had, and we had discussed their wings last week, and we said how they have four wings as opposed to the six wings that Yeshaya reports. And we talked about how since the Chayos are on a higher level than the Serafim, if the Serafim had six wings, then you can be sure the Chayos must have had six wings. And we said last week that the reason why over here they only have four wings, anybody remember why? They lost two of the wings because of us. Because of the way we Jews were behaving, they went down in their own stature and lost two wings. And we said last week there was a machlokas, there was a disagreement in the Gemara, which two wings they lost. Anybody remember what were the two opinions? Either the ones covering the feet or the one that they sang with. The ones covering their face, they certainly did not lose, but the ones that they sang with, or the ones with their feet, and we talked about last week that the covering the feet would represent covering sin, because we still have the feet in Pasuk. We read ahead in Pasuk Zion, although we are going to reread it tonight. We said how they had a regel egel, how the feet looked like the feet of a calf, which reminds is a tough word to use, but it brings up the Avera of the Egel Hazav, the golden calf, and the wings cover it, so to speak, to cover up that sin, so it should not be mentioned or it should not be in front of Hashem. That would imply, if those wings were removed, that there was an Avera that was being shown. If the wings that were used to sing with were removed, then that means that the ability to do a mitzvah, to sing to Hashem, was what the Jews were lacking. And that would, each one represents either an asay or a lo sasay, either the lack of doing a mitzvah sasay or the unfortunate act of doing a lo sasay. Those are the two things that were represented by that machlokas, and which one was worse by the Jews at that time, however you want to present it. So now we're going to read Pasuk Zayin again and understand it a little bit more in depth, in more context. And tonight I hope we cover Zayin, Ches, and, well, if we're really good, we'll cover through Yud. If we're not really good, we'll only get through Ches. So we'll try. So we have, V'raglehem regel yishara, their feet were a straight foot. What does that mean, their feet were a straight foot? Was it feet or a foot? Okay, you got it. Go ahead. Okay, fused. Together, straight, like what? Like we stand when? Only down in Shemona Esrei. Okay, so it was 2 feet, but it appeared as one. V'raglehem regel yishara, their feet were 1 foot. The chaf raglehem, and literally that would mean the palm of their feet, or we would call the sole of the foot, but it means the bottom of the feet. Kechaf regel egel would be like the bottom of the feet of a calf, although that's not the simple reading. That really is a drasha. The simple reading is it was a round foot, unlike our feet that are flat on the bottom. It was rounded. That's the literal translation. The drasha is that it was like an egel, like a calf. The notes it seem, and they shone, they glowed, ke'en nechoshes kalo, like shiny copper. So obviously we have to understand what's this business with shiny copper, they glowed. We'll read one more pasuk. Bidei adam bitachas kanfehem, and the hands of man were under their wings. So in addition to wings, they also had hands of man. I assume this means arms as well. Al arbas rivehem, on all 4 sides. Ufnehem v'chanfehem l'arbatam, and their faces and their wings to all 4 sides. I'll stop there for now, and hopefully we'll be able to move further tonight. Let's discuss now these two pasukim, Zayin and Ches. So Zayin focuses on the feet, and Ches focuses on the hands. So we'll talk about the feet first, since that's what the pasuk talks about first. V'raglehem regel yeshara, their feet were a straight foot. Now, what does it mean that it was a straight foot? So, as we all mentioned, it's like we do in Shemona Esrei, that we stand, and it appears as 1 foot, but it's only 2 feet. What is the significance of this 2 feet appearing like 1 foot? The question is as follows. If the angels always appeared as if they had 1 foot, then why have 2 feet in the first place? Give them 1 foot. Why do they need 2 feet that appear as 1 foot? That doesn't seem to be, it doesn't seem to have a reason to it. So obviously there must be some understanding behind why Hashem makes them with 2 feet that appear as one. Now, in what way does it, what does it mean when it says yishara, that they are straight? The foot is straight. So, one is that they're standing with the feet as if they're one. So, what about walking? Okay, they don't walk. They don't walk. Why don't they walk? Oh, not like can't. Oh, no. Say it, go ahead. Oh, they fly. All right, they don't need to walk. They can fly. Right? So they don't walk. You're right. Right? They don't walk because they fly. That's how they get from place to place, is that they fly. That's how they move from place to place. So the feet aren't necessary for walking. And in addition, you said it. What else? They don't have? They don't have joints. As Rashi says, their leg doesn't bend. Okay? Which means they're constantly standing. They don't sit. They don't lie down. The angels are in the realm of Ruchnias. They are in the spiritual realm. We, of course, are in the realm of Gashmias, the physical realm. That's where we are. That's who we are. So the feet are going to represent the difference between Gashmias and Ruchnias. That's what's being brought out over here. Now, let's bring that out as best as we can. First of all, did we ask this last week? See, I get my classes confused because there's a Sunday night class and this class, which are very similar right now. Did we talk about what is Hashem? Is he Ruchnias or is he Gashmias? No, we talked about that on Sunday night. Is Hashem spiritual or is he physical? Neither. Hashem is neither. Right? Hashem is Hashem. Both Ruchnius and Gashmius are created. Both spiritual and physical are created. To say that Hashem is Ruchnius, is spiritual, is wrong. He's not spiritual. He created spirituality. Bereshis bara Elohim es ha-shamayim es ha-aretz. Ha-shamayim there, in that first pasuk, means spirituality. He created Ruchnius, which means he created the Kisei HaKavod, and he created the, even though he didn't create angels yet, because angels weren't created until day two, but he created the spiritual realm. The Eis Ha'aretz, that means the physical realm. Then the next part that goes on, V'Ha'aretz, Ha'isah, Sahu, Vavahu, from now on, the Torah says, we're only talking about the physical realm. V'Ha'aretz, from the second part again on, we only discuss the Aretz, the universe, the physical universe. That's all that's discussed from the second pasuk and the rest of the Torah on. And the next time the word Shamayim is used in the Torah, it's Hashem calls the Rakia Shamayim. He refers to the Rakia as Shamayim, but it's not the real Shamayim. The real Shamayim is the spiritual realm, which is Eis HaShamayim Ve'Eis HaAretz. But Hashem created both things. Hashem himself is neither. The angels, of course, exist in the spiritual, in the Ruchnius realm. We are, our physical bodies, which is what we relate to most, that we see, obviously, is all physical. But the part of us that is most representative of the physical world are the feet. And that is because when the angels who have a regular yeshara, who appear as one foot and they don't bend, that means the angels don't, think this through, the angels don't, they don't have a digestive system. They don't have motor movement, meaning with the feet. Why? But they don't have motor movement. They don't procreate, and they don't rest. They don't need to rest. Those four things, more than anything else, are representative of this world. Why? Because this world is the Olam Ha'asiyah, the world of doing. Or you can call it the Olam of Hiruch. What does Hiruch mean? Lahaloch? To go. It's the realm of movement, of going, of moving around. The world of Ruchnius is called the world of, you can call it different things, but we're going to see a pasuk in Zechariah presently, where it's called the world of Omdim, of standers. Standers in two senses. First of all, they don't sit down, and second of all, they don't walk. You know, in Hebrew, if someone is walking and they stop, you say they are omed, because it's to stand still, to stop. That's to stand. So standing, omed, in Hebrew has two connotations, both are correct over here, that it's not walking and also not sitting. That is represented by the, that is what Ruchnius is all about. Because in the Ruchnius realm, in the realm of spirituality, there's no movement. What does that mean? So we know, you probably have heard this before, in Pirkei Avos we have a statement. There are really two conflicting statements. You have one statement that says that Yafa Sha'achas Lom Hazeh, the Torah of Ma'asim Tovim, that one moment in this world of Torah and good deeds is greater than Kol Chayei Ha'olam Haba, than all of the next world. One moment in this world of Torah and Ma'asim Tovim, of doing a mitzvah, is greater than all of the world to come. But then we also know, Chazal tell us, that one moment of pleasure in the next world is greater than all possible pleasure in this world. All possible pleasure means for a single person, for the entire universe, for the entirety of the universe, from its creation, from its inception to its destruction. There is all that pleasure packed together doesn't equal one moment of pleasure in the world to come. So how do these two statements reconcile themselves? What's better, this world or the next world? The answer is, if you're going to measure it in the sense of tov, or shlemus, goodness, the next world is by far greater. And you can't compare the two. Even one moment of the next world outweighs everything this world has to offer. But when you talk about the ability to earn it, to earn that tov, to get close to Hashem, one moment in this world of doing Torah, Ma'asim Tovim, outweighs all the next world, because in the next world you're stagnant. You can't move in the next world. The next world, you are what you are. You are whatever you earned in this world. This is the world of movement, of hopefully improvement, of getting closer to Hashem, or God forbid the opposite. The next world, one is what they are. The only way for a person in the next world to change their position, a person passes away. They go up to the Kisei HaKavod, to the throne, and they get judged. And they get a certain place in Gan Eden. That place is as it is. They can't move. It's final. What's the only way for a person in the next world to move either up or got to be down? Okay. If something happens in this world to affect them, meaning if either in their lifetime they affected something which continues after their death, then they continue to reap those benefits, or God forbid the opposite, in the next world. So that if a person, very simple example would be, a person taught somebody Torah in the previous world and be taught in when they were living, and then after they died, the other person who they taught the Torah to is continuing to keep that Torah, then the person who passes away continues to gain, grow in the next world. Because something is happening in this world to propel them forward in the next world. So that's the only way. Or if someone actively does something in this world on behalf of the deceased. That's why, what do we do? And on Yizkor or whatever it is, what do we do when we remember the dead? We give tzedakah. Why tzedakah? Because tzedakah is a way of having them move forward. Or we learn Mishnayos for them, or something like that. We do a mitzvah to their benefit. And that way it will propel them forward even in the next world, because something is happening here in the Olam HaAsir, the Olam, the world of doing the movement. Yes. No, unfortunately, it works in the other direction as well. That's a sobering thought. And yes, it works in both ways. You can't actively do something to hurt someone in the next world. That you can't do. And as I can give tzedakah, I can't slap somebody and say it should go for the person in the next world. Can't do that. But if God forbid a person influenced somebody, that unfortunately continues. Yeah. Okay. Now, the pasuk says in Zechariah, and we're actually going to read this very shortly. When do we read the second and third proclam of Zechariah for a haftorah? I'll give you a hint. Yeah, it's called, the Haftarah is called Neros de Zechariah. We read it on usually the Shabbos of Hanukkah. This year there are two Shabbos of Hanukkah, so it'll be the first Shabbos Hanukkah. We read about Zechariah because there's a menorah that's mentioned in this Nevuah of Zechariah. But in this discussion, Zechariah has a Nevuah that is about Yehoshua the Kohen Gadol, not to be confused with the Yehoshua who took over from Moshe Rabbeinu, who took us into Eretz Yisrael. That Yehoshua is from which Shevet? What's that? It's from Ephraim. Yeshua being known is from Ephraim. Yeshua Kohen Gadol obviously is from Levi, because he was Kohen Gadol. So it's a different Yehoshua. But this Yehoshua in Zechariah, he was the Kohen Gadol. He was the Gadol Hador. He was the greatest current sage of his generation. He is listed in the Mesorah in the Rambam. He's listed as one of the ones who carried on the Mesorah, the tradition of Torah. So Zechariah has a Nevuah about Yehoshua Kohen Gadol. And in this Nevuah, the Pasuk says, it's Perek Gimel Pasuk Zion of Zechariah. Komar Hashem Tzvakos, so said Hashem, of the Master of Legions. Im Bidrachai Teleif, if you'll go in my way, V'imes Mishmati Sishmor, and you'll guard my garden, my Torah, V'gam Atot Tadines Beisi, and you'll also judge my house, V'gam Tishmor Eskatei Roy, and you'll also guard my courtyard, V'nasati Lecha Malachim, I will give you movement, or moving around. I don't know how you say that how you translate that appropriately, but it means to move around. Bein ha'omdim ha'ela, amongst these standers. You see, Zechariah saw Yehoshua standing next to various malachim, next to various angels. And here, he's told to say to Yehoshua, if you keep my ways, now Yehoshua was, as I said, the greatest tzaddik of his generation, he was the greatest talmid chacham of his generation. He wasn't a sinner, but he was being told that you can improve even more, then this is what your reward is going to be. I will give you moving around amongst these standers, these who are stagnant, the angels. The angels don't move. You can move even amongst these people. That's what will happen if you will continue. Because Yehoshua was going to herald in the second Beis HaMikdash. Yehoshua was the one who was going to do what was necessary to bring about the eventual building of the Beis HaMikdash. It's a whole other discussion. Perhaps it's really a Hanukkah discussion. Now, the focus on the moving is this world, stagnation is the next world. And so the feet are where we see the difference between this world and the next world. And so the angels who do not rest, who do not have a digestive system, do not procreate, do not have motor movement, that all is representative of being in the olam of omdim, where you don't move. You are what you are. But we have all four of those things because we are in the olam ha'asiyah. And those things represent change, movement, continuation, more than anything else. We continue, of course, with future generations, but more than that, ourselves. We can't function without sleep, without eating. We need to restore our batteries. We have a digestive system because everything has to be constantly processed. We need fuel to function. And whenever you function, you need to burn up some sort of energy. There's something happening. In the Olam HaOmdim, in the next world, there is no burning of energy. You are what you are, and that's it. Now, they do have wings, which means they can move in that way, but it doesn't mean to move the way we think of it, because they don't exist in the physical realm. So moving in the spiritual realm anyway is a whole different idea. We really can't understand what it means, because we don't know what the spiritual realm is all about. But just to say it, the way Mar Shiva Rabbi Weinberg of Blessed Remember used to say it, he said that in explaining the difference between Hashem and Ruchnius and Gashmius. What he said is that Gashmius, in the physical realm, we are bound by space and by time. Space, the laws of matter, and then we have time, we have a beginning, we have an end. The spiritual realm is not bound by space. They're not in the physical realm. So there's no space to speak of, even though all the Nevuah here in Yechezkel is going to be discussing space and also certain movements of the angels, but it's not the type of movement and space that we're familiar with, because it's in a different realm entirely, which we can't really understand. And he's saying it in a way that will at least be something that we can appreciate. But it's not exactly the way it is. But angels are, and the spiritual realm is, bound by time. They have a beginning and they have an end. Hashem is bound by neither by time nor by space. And that is a way of thinking of the difference between these three, you want to call it one entity in two realms, but that's one way of thinking about these differences. And so, here again, Pasuk Zayin, V'ragleihem regel yishara, their feet were a straight foot, V'chaf ragleihem k'chaf regel egel, the bottom of their feet was a round foot. As we're going to see later, the chayos were complemented by ofanim. Ofanim means, what's the Hebrew word, ofanim, or ofan? Wheels. They are spherical angels, as we'll see later. And apparently the feet of the chayos resembled that sphere, they were round. And the notes of Tim Kane, Nechoshes Kalo, and they glowed, they shone like shiny copper. What's that all about? Why shiny copper? Who can tell me two other words related to the word Nechoshes? Nachash is snake, good. Was that it? Okay, which is? It's not quite magic. Superstition. Nechush is superstition. Like, black cat crosses my path, I'm going to have bad luck. That is Nechush. That's superstition. Nechush, Nachash, the snake, those are similar to Nechoshes, to copper. This world, the Olam HaAsiyah, mimics the next world. Things in this world mimic the next world. And that's not a trick, that's the way it's supposed to be. Everything in this world has something corresponding to it in the next world. We know, for instance, the Beis HaMikdash. You have a Beis HaMikdash Shalmala, you have a Beis HaMikdash Shalmata. You have a Yerushalayim Shalmala, you have a Yerushalayim Shalmata. The Gemara tells us even every blade of grass. A blade of grass doesn't grow until a Malach hits it and makes it grow. There's a spiritual something corresponding to everything in this world. Every nation has a Tsar, has an angel that represents it. The two worlds correspond to each other. But obviously, ours is a poor imitation of the next world. The next world, the spiritual world, the world of Ruchnius, is the one that is closer to Hashem, and therefore is more perfect. Ours is a world of imperfection, which it has to be, because the whole point of this world is to overcome our imperfections and to overcome the world's imperfections. So the world was made imperfect deliberately. That's the perfect way to make the world, is imperfect. And so this world is a pale comparison. It's a poor imitation of the next world, but it is nevertheless an imitation. the Nachash, the snake, always represents the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara. And that's ultimately what makes this world imperfect, is the Yetzer Hara himself, which is in all of us. Now that Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, the Yetzer Hara is internal rather than external as the snake was. But that is the Yetzer Hara. And the Yetzer Hara is what causes, or what is, the imperfection of this world. Chazal use a lashon, they use a statement that in the next world, the Yetzer Hara will be killed, will be slaughtered. Whatever that means, it certainly means that there won't be a Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara is what brings about the imperfection of this world, and it's what we need to overcome in our struggle, is our struggle against the Yetzer Hara. Nechosheth, copper. Copper is imitation what? Gold, right? Gold is the gold standard of metal, right? Gold is the primary metal and the most expensive metal because it's the rarest metal and the most beautiful, I guess. Copper is a cheap imitation of gold. That's what copper is. The Gemara tells us that in the second Beis HaMikdash, all of the gates, when they first built the Beis HaMikdash, they were not so wealthy, and they made all the gates gold. And then they changed all the gates, they made all the gates copper. Then when they became wealthier, they were able to afford to change all those copper gates to gold, with the exception of, anybody know? Sharei Nicanor, the front two gates, which were the gates of Nicanor, because his gates, there were miracles that happened with their gates, a whole other discussion. And also, the Gemara says, because of who he was a big tzaddik, his copper gates shone as brightly as gold. You couldn't tell the difference. They looked like gold gates. All other copper gates, as much as you polish them, make them look beautiful, they're going to look like copper. They're still not going to look like gold. And so they changed them to gold. But Nicanor's gates were so beautiful that they looked like gold. There was no need to change them. So that's unusual. Copper is really imitation gold. What is nichush? What is superstition? What is superstition? Superstition is usri. You're not allowed to be menachesh. Now, let me tell you. What's that? Imitation of nivua. Okay. It's not quite idol worship. A black cat crosses my path, I'm going to have bad luck. The nichush, a person only gets the avera of nichush if they react to the nichush, to the superstition. A black cat crosses my path, and I say, I'm going to have bad luck. And as a result, I turn around and go home. I was going to go to a business deal, and the black cat crossed my path, and I turn around and go home because, oh no, now I'm going to have bad luck. That is the avera of nichush, because I reacted to a foolish superstition. That's what nichush is. To simply believe it, even though it may be foolish, is not an avera because he didn't react to it. That is nichush. Now there are certain types of nichush which some poskim hold as permissible. The Rambam holds they're all usur. Others hold that some could be permitted. Depends on the case. Certainly the black cat case is prohibited. That there's no question about. But what is nichush? Nichush is also, if you call it imitation of nevuah, I would say it's an imitation of what is controlling the world. When you say that Hashem runs the world, you don't believe in the black cat. When you say the black cat crossed my path, what do you believe in? You believe in fate, in luck, in some kind of lucky stars. That's all a form of imitation of what the real thing is. It's not believing that I control my own destiny. That is kfira. That's rejecting Hashem. I control my own destiny. I am in control, and there is no God. There is no greater power than myself. That's rejecting the whole notion of spirituality. To say the black cat has some control over my life, which is not explained in some sort of physical way, is not rejecting that there is some greater power, but it's attributing the power to some luck, fate, whatever you want to call it. And that is also an imitation of the belief in Hashem. It's acknowledging there's something beyond myself, but it's misplacing where that acknowledgement is. Idolatry is a very similar thing. And so, nechosheth, copper, in all three of its connotations, copper, snake, and nichush, and superstition, all three are indicative of the cheap imitation that this world is of the next. Copper being a cheap imitation of gold, the Nachash being the Yetzer Hara itself, and the superstition being a cheap imitation of what it means to believe in something above and beyond yourself. So Nechoshes really has no place on the angels. Why would it be on the angels? The angels are beyond this world. But really, what is the job that we have? We are made up of a physical and spiritual side. We each have both sides to us. And ultimately, we're struggling to do what? What are we struggling to do? To defeat the Yetzer Hara. But what are we struggling? What are we trying to do? Come close to Hashem. In what way? Okay, we're trying to make our spiritual side stronger than our physical side. We're trying to make the spiritual control and defeat, not really defeat, that's the wrong word, to infuse the physical side with the spiritual. Ultimately, what we can see is our physical self. We don't see the spiritual self. But there is a spiritual self in there. As we continue to do mitzvot, and as we get closer to Hashem, our spiritual self becomes stronger. The spiritual self glows. And I spoke about this on Sunday night for those who were there. For those who are not there, what's the example of the person whose spiritual self glows so much that it bursts forth? Moshe Rabbeinu. And as a result, he had to wear a mask. Because the spiritual self bursts forth from his face. The truth is that happened to all of us at Matan Torah. But once we did the Aveira of the Egel Hazav, the rest of us lost it, but he retained it. And so we had to wear a mask. Had we all kept it, none of us would have worn masks because it wouldn't have been unusual. All of us would have been the same. But because we all lost it and he kept it, he had to wear a mask. But his spiritual self burst forth and now overtook his physical self. I wouldn't say he conquered it, but what he did is he transformed his physical self. The spiritual side completely took over. And now his physical self was almost spiritual in and of itself. This happens also, we mentioned on Sunday night, this happens with Yahushua also, just not to as great extent as to Moshe Rabbeinu. And the truth is that it's something which really is what the next world is really all about. Olam Haba is all about once you have Chiyas HaMeisim, which we're not going to get into tonight. Nicanor's gates, the same thing happened. What happened over there? The copper gates appeared like gold, meaning that the copper, which really represents the cheap imitation, the Olam Hazeh, shone like gold. It appears like gold itself. That's what's supposed to happen with us. Our spiritual selves become so powerful that our physical self almost looks spiritual. When you looked at Moshe Rabbeinu's face, he took off his mask when he was saying Torah. When you looked at his face, you thought you were looking at an angel. You thought you were looking at a spiritual being because the spiritual was bursting forth from his face. And he was indiscernible. You couldn't tell that he was really a physical being underneath all that. Because it had come forth, it had taken over. And that's what is meant to happen, and that's our job. That's really what we're trying to do. All of our struggles, that is ultimately what's happening. And the truth is, it affects the whole world. It's not just us. But the entire physical universe is meant to have a spiritual side to it that ultimately comes forth and is seen and is more obvious. Right now, you look around, all you see is the physical universe. The physical universe screams, if anything, there is no God. There is no God. Science takes that to the nth degree. That's what the physical universe is right now announcing. But that's only because the physical universe, the physical side, is so totally covering up the spiritual part of it, you can't see it. But ultimately, that spiritual part is supposed to burst forth. And that will happen in Olam Haba. As we explained, I hate to keep bringing up Sunday night, but as we explained on Sunday night, Olam Haba is right here in this world. Olam Haba is after the resurrection of the dead, Tchiyat HaMeitim. It happens in this world, and in that world, we are here in our bodies. Our spiritual and physical selves come back together after death. They come back together as we come to life again, and the entire world takes on a whole new appearance because the spiritual is now bursting forth from the physical. This is... Okay, I'll take a question. Go ahead. Very good. I was wondering if someone would bring that up. That's correct. And they had both capacities over there. But it's even more over there, because Rashi says over there, Hashem just says to him, make a nachash, make a snake, and put it up on a, make an artificial snake, and put it up on a pole, on a high, where everybody can see it. That's all Hashem says to him. Then it says, Vayas Moshe Nechash Nechoshes. He made a copper snake. Rashi says, Hashem didn't tell him to make it out of copper, but Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hashem said, make it a Nechosh, so I'll make it out of Nechoshes. Isn't that cute? That's right? So Moshe Rabbeinu is just playing games. Hashem said, make it out of a snake, so I'll make it copper, because the two words are similar. Obviously, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying the two things are relevant to each other, and it's not by accident that the two Hebrew words are so similar. And that's what we're talking about over here. It's the same idea. He made it out of copper because it's the same notion that if you're going to look at it and think physical world, you're not going to get anywhere. You look at it and you think spiritual world, then you're going to get better. You're going to think of Hashem. And that's what the Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah, that we say in Rosh Hashanah, those of you who are nice at the table in Rosh Hashanah, that's what it says over there. Yes. Yes, the Kiyar was made out of Nechoshes as well. Yes. That's a different, you're right. It's going to tie into this, but that is a whole different talk, and that has to do with the mirrors, etc. That's the way of Pesach talk. But yeah, very good. You have a question also? No? Okay. Now, over here, what is happening with the Nechoshes Kalol, the shiny copper that's on the angels, the notes of Simkein Nechoshes Kalol, and it's shown, it glowed like shiny copper. So the here, that's what's being expressed by the angels. The malachim here are the feet, the regel yishara, which is the feet that represent the next world. But we said, what do you mean they represent the next world? Don't have any feet at all. Why do you have to have a straight foot? Have no feet. But the point is that no, because there is a place for feet in the next world. Not the way we have them in this world, but there is a place for feet. How? What place is there for feet in the next world? Ke'en nechoshes kalal. The shiny copper feet. The copper that looks like gold. The feet that look like a straight foot that have been transformed into a spiritual type of feet, there is a place for that in the next world. And that's what the angels are bringing up. They didn't do this job because the angels are created as they are. They didn't perfect themselves and make themselves, make their spiritual side overcome the physical side. They don't have a physical side. But the vision that Yechezkel sees of the angels, they're made up to look how we are meant to be. How we are meant to be. Remember, whose face is on the Merkava? Yaakov Avinu, because Yaakov perfected himself, the third of the Avos. He took all that Avram had and all that Yitzchak had and all that he had to offer and put it all together into one. And so he is that faith. The angels here are all that same notion of the perfect person, the one who has reached the perfection of Yaakov Avinu. That perfect person has a regel yeshara, meaning that it's still a foot for the next world. There's no movement in the next world, but it's gotten to the point of nechoshes kalol, of shiny copper, to the point where it is like, it's like gold. It now bursts forth, the spirituality is there. That's why it doesn't come out with no feet. No feet would mean, okay, it's just spiritual. With a foot that glows like copper, like shiny copper, like gold, that has the sense of having perfected oneself to the point where they are now more spiritual than physical. And that is what is being brought out in this pasuk with the whole discussion of the feet. Any questions on this pasuk? No, they did not. They did not. But they appear like the person who has perfected himself. Just as they have the face of Yaakov Avinu, that's how they appear. Because this is what we're striving for. Incidentally, and I'm not going to explain this, but just to throw in one more point in this, the Gemara says that, I mentioned that the whole world is going to be transformed for Olam Haba. As the process is basically, just as we die, the world will eventually die and then come back to life itself. There'll be a point in time where the world will go through a point of Charav, where it will be destroyed and then also resurrected. It'll come to be different in a more spiritual way. That will be with Tchias HaMesim. The Gemara asks, what's going to happen to the tzaddikim who are still alive when the world is destroyed? And the world's going to be destroyed. Now, people are still going to be living at that time. It's after Mashiach comes, sometime down the line. Now Hashem's going to say, okay, it's time for the world to be transformed. So we're going to have to destroy the world, and it's going to redo itself. Okay, what's going to happen to the angel, to the people who are alive at that time? What's that? That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says they'll be given wings so they can fly over whatever's going on down there. So I have no idea what that means. But, you see the wings are also, in some way, something to do with the perfect Adam. The Adam was perfected himself, like Yaakov Avinu, where you have the regal Yishara and the Nechosh Kalov. The wings also, the Knafayim, the 264 Knafayim that we talked about, that's also part of this perfection, this Shlema, that we are trying to reach. Okay, Pasuk Chet. Now we move on to the hands. So that's the feet. Now what about the hands? Videi Adam itachas kanfehem, they had hands of man under their wings. Ala abasri vehem, on all four of their sides. Ufnehem v'chanfehem la'arbatam, and their faces and their wings on all four sides. Now the all four sides part, we're going to talk more in depth about when we get to Pasuk Yud. So for that time being, I want to ignore that and focus only on the hands part. So they had hands. What do angels need hands for? What do they do with hands? Do they clap their fingers? What do they do with hands? We said before they sing with their wings, whatever that means. But okay? They do not play instruments. What do they do with hands? So Rashi tells us they use their hands. We're going to have later on, we'll discuss this more in depth when we get there. We're going to have later on, and remember, I realize we have not seen any of this yet. But Yechezkel is ultimately, at least the first several prakim of Yechezkel, are very depressing. Because they talk about all of the averus and all of the punishments that the Jews are going to have to go through. We haven't gotten to them yet, but we will shortly, and it's not going to be enjoyable for that those times when we're involved with those parts, those prakim. So we're going to have a discussion later about the fires that are going to consume Yerushalayim because of their sins. Those fires, as we said, everything first is represented by something upstairs before it happens downstairs. There's a corresponding spiritual side. The corresponding spiritual side to those fires are going to be that we're going to have angels who are going to take coals from on the Mizbeach. There's a Mizbeach upstairs, just like there's one down here. They're going to take coals from on the Mizbeach, and they're going to put them on Yerushalayim, the one upstairs, to show the spiritual burning of Yerushalayim, which will then be followed by the physical burning of Yerushalayim. How do they get those coals? They get those coals with these hands. That's how they get the coals. We're going to see later, it's not so simple, there's much more to it, but that's what happens. So what is with these hands? Apparently, these hands are used only when dealing with something physical. What I mean to say is this. The hands of the angels, really, they have wings. And the hands are underneath their wings. They don't really need the hands for anything to do with praising Hashem, just like they don't need their foot for praising Hashem. What do they need for praising Hashem? They need their wings. They sing with their wings. So whatever that means, I'm sure they also speak. But whatever it means to sing with their wings, the wings are representative of the ruchnius, of the spiritual. And they use that for singing, for praising Hashem, which is ruchnius, which is spiritual. When we praise Hashem, we're doing something ruchnius, we're doing something spiritual. When the angels use their hands, that's not used in praising Hashem, that's used in punishing when punishment needs to be meted out. That's what the hands are used for. The hands are used only when it is something in the physical realm that they're doing directly. That's when the hands are used. And they're under the wings, because the wings are really what they're all about. Angels don't need hands. They only need hands, so to speak, when they are interacting with what is going on down here. What's that? Because when it's not punishment, the question is, why is it only punishment? I'm not 100% sure it's only punishment, but I'm not 100% sure that it's only punishment. I think it is. And the reason why I would say it is because when we need to be rewarded, that means we are acting spiritual. We're acting with ruchnius. So then the wings would be used, because the wings are representative of ruchnius. The hands are representative of gashmius, of this world. So when it's punishment, which means that man did not act with ruchnius, instead man had their physical sight overtake their spiritual sight, then it is hands that are used by the angels. Hashem has the angels use their hands to punish. When it is the reward, in other words, when it's something that represents us, when we use our spiritual self to overcome our physical self, then it should be the wings that are used. And we'll see if this pans out as we go through. Okay. That was a pasuk that's in Zechariah, actually. That is true. When you say purified the lips, what did he do wrong? I'm sorry, not that wasn't Zechariah, that was Yeshaya. Okay, what did he do? He had spoken on his level, because what he said was very innocuous, but what he said on his level was Lashon Hara. So therefore, he had to have his lips purified. What do you mean purified? Pain. It wasn't painless when the thing touched his lips. It was painful. That was a punishment, but not a punishment to just get him for what he did, but it's to purify him, to make him atone for what he had done wrong. So that's the same idea. When it's being done because of an Avera, or in Yeshaya's case, we wouldn't call that an Avera, we would call it on his level a small slip-up, then it needs to use the hands. When it's not going to be for an Avera, it'll be for praising Hashem, or something representative of us doing the right thing, then the wings should be the part of the angel that is focused on, not hands. And as I said, we'll see if this carries through. Anybody can catch a question on this, please speak up when you see it, and that way we can see if it carries through. Okay, pause the test. We have another few minutes. Chavros Yishol HaKosot HaNfeihem, their wings were literally means attached, although it doesn't actually mean attached. It means that they were next to each other. The two wings were right next to each other, one next to the other, their wings. Lo yisabu v'lechtan, they would not turn when they moved. Ish el eber panav yelechu, each one to the side of their face they would go. Okay, there are two points being made in this pasuk. Number one, the wings came together. In other words, the angels' wings were, and I'm not sure which wings we're talking about either, but whatever wings we're talking about, they were held up and they came together. That's how they covered their faces. That's how they covered their feet. Whatever wings they had, they were up and they were covered. The wings that covered, the wings that they flew with, which means that they sang with, flying and singing are the same thing. The Chazal used is the wings that are meant for flying. It's translated in Yeshaya as flying. It says, "Ubishtayim ya'ofeis." For two, they would fly, which the Targum says means they would sing with. So this is just bringing out the fact that we don't really understand what it means for angels to fly and to sing, etc. But at any rate, the wings that they used to cover their faces and their feet, they were just spread out in a way that masked what was behind them. And that's the first half of the pasuk. The wings were next to each other to block what was behind them, and that was, we said, covering the face or covering the feet. Then it says, lo yisabu v'lechtan, they would not turn when they moved, ish alever panav yelechu, each one to the side of their face they would go. So what does that mean, they would not turn when they moved? Okay, but what does it mean they wouldn't turn? When you want to walk... Okay, they didn't have to turn, right? When you want... They just went straight. In any direction. If you have faces on all four sides, you never need to turn around. Imagine that. Imagine watching your kids, right? You don't have to turn around, right? You can just move in any direction without turning. We're going to see, just as they had round feet, they also had, as I mentioned, the Ofanim, the spherical angels underneath them. Spherical angels can roll. They did not turn. These angels never turned. They always faced the same direction, which is all four directions. But as well, as we'll see in the next pasuk, which we're going to talk about next week, there were different faces in each direction. But they never turned. If Hashem wanted them to move one way, they would just move that way. The other way, they'd move the other way. That way, that didn't make a difference. Because there were faces in all four directions. And that's what this pasuk says, though Yisabu v'lechton, they would not turn when they moved. Each aleva panavi lechu, each one, to the side of their face, they would go. They would simply follow their face. Which means, as we're going to see in the next pasuk, and this will be a prelude to next week, as we're going to see in the next pasuk, that they had different faces, as we already know the different faces they had. They had a man, and they had a lion, and an ox, and an eagle. They were in different directions. And those directions, the same faces faced the same direction all the time. In other words, whatever direction the man's side faced was always, because they never turned. Whatever side the lion faces faced never changed, because they never turned. They just simply moved in that direction. That means that these faces corresponding to the directions we're going to see in the next pasuk are very important, because they never change. And we're going to see, starting next week, I told you already, I believe last week, that directions are a major, major theme in Sefer Yechezkel. Next week, for the first time, we're going to go in depth in directions. I hope we get more than one pasuk done next week, but we're going to bring up many examples of directions. Anything you know about directions, bring it to share next week, because there's a lot about it. And there's a lot about, I'm talking about directions of north, south, east, and west, and I'm talking about right, left, front, and back. All of that we're going to be discussing next week, and how it fits in with these malachim, and how they are representative of the various directions, ruchos hashamayim, and how that affects us even today.